Y'all, like we always do at this
There we are.
time, what's up, everybody? Hey, Brando, thank you. Thank you very much for being such a good host to hold it down for me. Y'all, sorry about the delay, but here we are. Brando, what's up, man?
I'm great. I'm great. It's Thursday, and I get to be in the comfort of my home, and I get to have a conversation with you today. So I couldn't ask for more.
Well, guys, I could not think of anybody better to kick off a season where we're celebrating joy and pain than Mr. Brando Jones. He has, in his very short time with us at True Colors, he is our connectivity director, but he brings the joy with us every day and the staff. And even though we're not able to be together in person due to this COVID situation, he is still finding ways to bring smiles on our faces. So we're really, really excited to have you here with this, Brando. Guys, like we do every Thursday, just because it's a new season doesn't mean that anything has really changed. I'm so thankful to be able to have a chance to speak to you all and speak to industry leaders and to have Brando on the panel today. Again, thanks in advance to anybody who donates to us in this time. We really, really appreciate those donations. And let's kick off season 18 of True Colors. Let's do it. Brando, tell people a little bit about yourself. You are our connectivity director. Let's talk a little bit about what that means. But first, who are you? Where'd you come from? Represent your family.
Well, I'm a Southern boy through and through, born and raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I would say I've had a love of the arts from an early age, especially growing up in a primitive Baptist church in Tennessee. I would say my early connections with art were through singing in the choir and church and doing plays at the church. And then in high school, got more involved with musical theater and decided to go to college to pursue theater first at Denison University in Ohio. Then I studied at Stella Adler Conservatory in Los Angeles. And then I finished my studies at SCAD in Savannah. And I also, during my time at SCAD, I expanded my studies to arts administration. And so I feel very lucky that I'm able to work in the field that I love. Since coming to Atlanta about 5 years ago, after I finished my studies at SCAD, I first started working for a People Store agency. So working with a lot of the film actors in Atlanta. Then I was brought on for the Fulton County Arts and Culture Office, and I managed citywide programs and initiatives. I'm sorry, countywide programs and initiatives. Then I was brought on by the Serenby Institute, and so I worked for them for about a year and a half until the end of last year. And then I was very fortunate that you invited me to join the staff very early this year. So I really appreciate you and the fabulous True Colors team for inviting me into the fam. And so it's been great. I get to work with the administrators who are doing what I love, which is telling the stories of our community. So it's been a good experience.
Well, no doubt. Like I said earlier, man, we are just honored to have you to join an amazing staff. You and I are holding it down as the two guys in the building because we get to work with some beautiful and amazing and extremely talented Dak women. So I'm really excited just to be able to talk to my brother here. Brando, let's talk a little bit about the work that you've been able to do, man. Since stepping foot in Atlanta, you have done such an amazing job in creating community around you and connecting to other community groups. Can you talk a little bit about what inspired that love of community in you?
I think it started from it started from my it's been inspired by my personal experience because I noticed in my experience as a performing artist that there were certain challenges that seemed to come with being a black artist, often working with white theater companies or white led or white all white led theater departments and colleges. And I consistently was I felt that I was fighting up against walls to be represented in the productions and to have a voice. And for example, when I was at SCAD, it was I experienced this issue so much in so many of my peer, so many of my BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color colleagues experienced the same issues that I founded Multicultural Alliance Theater, which is a club that still exists at SCAD, which exists for the purpose of providing leading role opportunities for artists of color. And I'm very proud of the work that they continue to do. And so I started that in my final year, and we kicked off with Kwame Kwarama's play Beneath His Place. He personally gave us permission to do a reading, and we had a and we did a he actually did a Skype with us to talk to us about what it means to be a Black theater maker. And so that really inspired me to really use my voice as a theater maker, as an arts administrator, to try to provide opportunities for other artists of color. And so I would say that the consistent theme throughout my career has been opening doors, especially for those who are overlooked. And I've also focused on low-income communities. I really enjoyed having a chance to work with Fulton County Juvenile Court, work with a number of Title I schools, even working with Grady Hospital, in their cancer center. They work with a lot of low-income individuals. So whether youth or adults, providing a chance for them to find their voice has really been important to me. And I think it really started from my own challenges in the industry.
Yeah, man. You know what I love is that rather the things that are most authentic to who we are as people and how we present, whether it be artists, whether it be arts administrators, or the things that are deep down, the things that are true to our core. And it sounds like the work that you have done in your career as an arts administrator have lied at your core. Connectivity director is such a funky term, and one that I want to give a shout out to Woolly Mammoth Theater Company. They built the legacy of connectivity director, and we've kind of borrowed it. But can you just speak to what does that feel like when you think of that term? Like, how do you wear that? How do you hold what a connectivity director is?
Essentially, I would say the connectivity director is the core purpose is to be a link between the organization and the community. Primarily, I would say the local community. And so for different organizations that can look like different things, but I think for us, it involves being intentional with creating community partnerships. For example, well, I know we'll get into our discussions of our conversations later, but looking at community partnerships that with community partners that have missions that align with our mission to create programming that serves the community, whether that's through conversations or readings or whatever programs seem fit, and then also being a liaison for whether that's going out and speaking in the community or promoting the shows to targeted communities, working with senior groups, working with schools, being a voice to advocate, or, I'm sorry, being a voice to represent the organization to the community, and just making sure that the organization stays linked with the core needs of the community.
Right, one of the things that I've really appreciated about the work of True Colors, and one thing that we really want to move forward is that like True Colors has been supported by the Atlanta theater community, and we want to make sure that in whatever we do that we don't separate ourselves from the Atlanta community writ large. A theater like ours has to be relevant to the issues happening in our area. And I'm thankful for you joining our ranks because of that's just the work, and you're helping us stay rooted in community. We talk about thriving at the intersection of artistic excellence and civic engagement, and you really anchor a lot of that intersection work. Just anybody who is looking to find ways to connect with us at True Colors, you guys are getting an opportunity to talk to the man who helps build that link. Y'all, my guest today is Brando Jones, Connectivity Director at True Colors Theater. He's been with us just for a couple of months. Brando, you started when specifically?
See, it was middle to end of January.
Right, that's what I thought. So just here in this crazy ass year of 2020, But so it's not been all bad. 2020. 2020 definitely started off with a lot of good things to us. You know, Brandon, one of the things that I've been really excited by the energy that you bring is your willingness to link back organizations that had, you know, familiar previously to your time, been unfamiliar with the work that we've been doing at True Colors, but also the work that you've been to bring some artists to us as well. You had an integral work in our hashtag Real Responses, where we were asking artists to share their feelings and their art with us in the immediate aftermath of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the events that led to a real racial reckoning. Can you talk a little bit about like how what is that like in connecting artists back to something so powerful as this moment on racial reckoning?
Well, I love the Real Responses because it gives the artists that we already know and love in the community a chance to really gives us a chance to really highlight the work that they've been doing throughout their careers and that they're doing specifically now to highlight their response to the George Floyd incident and just the Black Lives Matter movement in general. But as we know and many in our Black community know, Black artists have been talking about and showing, displaying, creating art that addresses this issue for decades. And so, you know, I feel like it's we're you know the art has been out there, and it's just a chance for, I would say, the broader public to sort of really get a grip on the work that is being done. And fortunately, in Atlanta, especially, we have so many great artists who are connected to the community and who I think have a personal mission of connecting their art to this civic engagement, social responsibility piece. And one of the artists, Ronnie Beats, is actually on the is actually watching now. He's a
Shout
he's an
out to
excellent.
Ronnie.
Yeah, shout out to Ronnie. I've admired Ronnie's work for years, and he always he's done a great. He's been speaking about this issue through his art for years, really showing Black bodies and representing Black bodies, and we included a number of his excellent paintings in the Real Responses. But then we have a number of artists who aren't local, who are overseas. For example, there's a great pianist and composer, Will Betty, from Paris, France, who submitted a video called "A Cry for Justice." We have Stephen Durell, saxophonist, who did a cover of Mariah Carey's "Hero," and then did a rendition of the national anthem, the Black national anthem, and of course a number of great artists who are submitting their work. So I think it's you know it's really it really connects to our goal to really be a platform also for emerging artists. A number of these artists are not necessarily stars; they have their own following. But I think it's important for True Colors to use its platform to shed a spotlight on those artists who are doing meaningful, important work that speaks to the magnitude of this moment, and I think where we can go from here.
Right, you know, we've been talking a lot about just amplifying the voice, right? Like, what does it mean to be a culturally relevant theater company in this time? We speak about our mission being to celebrate the rich tradition of Black storytelling, and there's so many Black artists wanting to tell their specific story and not waiting until they become a trending hashtag, unfortunately, for their story to get out there, but really taking control of their own narrative. And what would we be as a theater company that professes to tell Black stories where we share? You know, we use that tagline, True Colors, where Black stories are heard and celebrated. We wouldn't be truly living that if we weren't using what we have to amplify. I want to just shift gears just a little bit, and I want to talk and ask you, you know, when you're thinking about community organizations or when you're out in the community speaking up about True Colors, what are you looking for in a partner relationship? And then also, what are you thinking that True Colors can provide to community organizations when you are going out and saying, like, hey, we would love to partner with you? What do you say True Colors can provide people?
Well, I would say when I'm looking at a potential partner organization. Of course, there's the of course I do my background research first to see, does their mission align with ours, and is the organization already doing work that seems to align with our vision and our mission to serve the community. But then also, I've been fortunate over my years in Atlanta to have met a number of great administrators. So sometimes the administrators are friends of mine, people that I've worked with in the past, people that I know who are passionate about creating programming that specifically serves and speaks to the Black community. So although their organization may not be at the point that they have widespread Black programming that speaks to our mission in serving Black voices, Black artists, it's a question of does this administrator and does this organization have an interest in serving our community? So it's a combination of things, definitely, whether it's knowing someone personally on the staff or having a good understanding of the mission of the organization. But then also, as I look into our season, I ask myself, is there something that organization is able to provide that we are not? Perhaps are they able to help us to expand our audience, to reach even more in the community to tell these stories? Does the organization have any, whether it's artists that are connected to it or other board members, staff who are doing work personally that seems to connect. So it's a number of things, but it all starts with the conversation to see where can we link, where can we meet on the common ground to ultimately reach our audience, tell Black stories. And if I have an idea for a specific program or a specific public performance that I think would be fitting, does that organization already have a link to that? Whether it's a reading or a public showcase, or a conversation, fortunately, a number of colleges and organizations that I've connected with earlier this year have already expressed interest in working with us, and a number of them don't have a lot of programming already that's specifically for the Black community, but they want to do more. And so I'm always open to that conversation. And I say, okay, well, how can we better serve the community together? Because ultimately, I think that through partnerships, you're just able to expand. You're able to do more. It's about combining resources to better serve the community. So I'm all about collaborating, partnerships, and providing the community a better experience, a better and more fulfilling experience.
Great, 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 great. Y'all, my guest today is Brandel Jones, and we've switched it up today. Brandel is on the top screen on the True Colors platform. Y'all, this is episode 20. I forgot to say, this is episode 20. We made it,
Wow.
guys. We made it
Phenomenal.
to 20 weeks
Phenomenal.
of the True Colors podcast, and I've just had a really amazing time talking to people. Shout out to whomever donated. We really, really appreciate it. When they have me on the bottom screen, I can't see who it was specifically, but shout out to you. You know who you were. I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for everybody who loves and support True Colors. Brando, I want to talk about, one of the first big projects that you had at True Colors was really putting together our most recent community conversation when we were honoring some of the unsung heroes in our community. Can you just give people, high level, what was that like? Who were you able to bring? And then talk about some of the gems that were dropped in that conversation.
Yeah, I have to say, I really enjoyed working on that conversation. It was one of the it was already part of the season, one of the conversations that I've been decided for the season before I joined, and I was so excited because it's exactly the kind of conversation that I love. So for our audience, I'll give a bit of background. The goal for the unsung well this Unsung Heroes was going to be the And it was the final conversation in our season for the She Griots season. And so the goal was to celebrate some of our distinguished Black women leaders in the community. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that we still provided this conversation to the community Although, of course, with COVID, we knew that we would not be able to do it in person. And fortunately, we found a way to still make it happen. And I was so thrilled that we had such phenomenal women, such as we had Bishop Caroline Tyler Guidry, who is one of the history makers, one of the first Black women bishops. We also had Gochay Hawkins, a business owner and also celebrity hairstylist. We had,
Let me put this plug in real quick. If you guys have not gone to Gochay's Breakfast Bar, they are doing takeout ordering. Go support Gochay's Cascade Southwest in that public shopping center. Gochay, I'm coming. I need some of those grits. I need some of those biscuits and gravy. Sorry to distract. Gochay, holler at me. I need that
No,
food.
that's a great distraction. Their food is phenomenal, and I would eat there more often if I could, but I'm trying to balance my diet. But there's great food, and we enjoy partnering with them. Actually, for our production of Schoolgirls, we partner with them, and there is a really great company. Let's see, also we had Dr. Kalinda Lee, historian for the Atlanta History Center, on that panel. And then we also had, oh yes, Councilwoman Dr. Catherine Foster Rowell, who is a councilwoman for the city of South Fulton. She was
Right.
also on that panel, and we really enjoyed working with her. The conversation was moderated by the fabulous Clarissa Ward, I'm sorry, Clarissa Crawford, with True Colors, associate producer. And I thought she did a wonderful job moderating that conversation. So they had an in-depth conversation about what it means to be a Black woman leader. And some of the highlights. I mean, there were so many gems that were dropped during that conversation. I remember Bishop Tyler Guidry talked about her experience having she has, I believe it's 4 or 5 children, and she talked about what it was like even for her having raising a Black son, and what she the conversation that she had to have with him. At the time when he was really young, he was involved with the protest, and you can even see this story on the History Makers. If you go to the History Makers website, there's a video of her also talking about this. There was a protest, I forget how many decades ago, but kids who were these youth who were protesting were gathered up in a garbage truck and taken to the jail, and she talked about how challenging that was for her to have to, of course, have that conversation with her son, and the concern as a mother, and basically the she was talking also about the how this still continues today, the how the conversation that Black parents have to have with their children has not changed since, the 60s or 70s. So it's just amazing that this how this moment today has really shown how far we have or have not progressed. Dr. Lee and the others just spoke personally about their various experiences. I know that Dr. I'm sorry, not Dr. Gochay Hawkins talked about being a business owner, and talked about having to talked about training her staff, and trying to be a mentor for them so that they can move on with their careers, and talking about the need for more mentors in the community for young people who are trying to reach the next step in their career. So if for those of you who haven't had a chance to watch it, the recording of that conversation is on the True Colors website, under Community Conversations. You can watch the full recording at your leisure, and it's just a really great conversation, and we definitely want to keep all of those excellent panelists connected with True Colors, because they drop so many gems, and they're all active in the community, and they serve the community.
You better bring people back to the website, truecolorstheater.org. Y'all see that? He's so smooth. He just navigates these conversations. Guys, my guest today is Mr. Brandel Jones, who's the connectivity director with us at True Colors. I wanted to bring Brandel on as we kick off our Joy and Pain season, which is our 18th season at True Colors. We were founded in 2002, and here we are in 2020, a year unlike any other that we've seen. We came up with this idea of joy and pain around this time last year, and we had no idea of just what the Black community would be facing in this upcoming season. So, these things have a way, art imitating life and vice versa. Brenda, I want to kind of preview for people what they can expect from us as far as the community conversation series. So, we normally do community conversations in conjunction with our main stage programming, and since we can't return back on stage and we'll be doing a lot of digital work over the 2021 season, we've eased that up a little bit to provide more community conversations. Maybe let's talk some high level. What are the ones that you top of mind, most excited by to bring to our community with some of the series that we're looking to talk about this year?
Absolutely. Well, it was clear to me when I came to True Colors that the community conversations were really one of the key, it was one of our key programs that connects, that provides that civic engagement piece for True Colors. And so I started looking at how we can expand the conversation so that we can do more. And of course, in our virtual environment, it's perfect. We can safely have even more conversations. With whether that's local thought leaders or non-local thought leaders, to really bring some really I think thought-provoking conversations to our audience. So some of my some of the highlights for the next season, we're going to have a conversation called Black Theater and the Black Lives Matter Movement. That will be about the historical intersection of the traditional Black theater and various movements that have been influenced by Black theater, and that Black theater has helped to shape or highlight on the stage. And we're going to have some of the legends of Black theater joining us. So looking forward to that announcement. We're going to have a conversation called Out of the Shadows, Access to the Arts for Southern Black LGBTQ. Focusing on the challenges for Southern Black LGBTQ to expressing themselves artistically, and what we need to do, and we're hoping and we're planning to do a play reading with that as well. We're also going to do Black branding, the fight for dignified representation, talking about the issues of or the challenges for Black branding experts and Black branding agencies to represent Black individuals and Black communities in a dignified manner, and the role that Black experts play in showcasing the Black experience in a positive manner to perhaps non-Black audiences. Those are just a few. And another one that comes to mind, we're going to have a conversation for our production of Maria and Rosetta, called Sacred versus Secular, about the historical intersection of sacred and secular music and the challenges of acceptance for especially those who prefer a more secular sound. So we're and those are just to highlight a few of the excellent conversations that we're going to have this upcoming season, and of course some excellent panelists. So I think that we're going to have some great discussions and a great chance for our audience to ask questions and think more deeply about these issues that have been truly that have been affecting our community for decades. But it is going, I think it's going to be really wonderful.
Yeah, one of the things I loved as you were pitching these ideas, I loved how you were always just bringing it back to the season theme of joy and pain, right? Like, we talk so much about the pain and some of the challenges in the Black experience, but there's so many causes to celebrate. And with all of these panel conversations, you're finding ways to celebrate. How can we celebrate Black branding and Black brands and the way in which Black culture has permeated and is synonymous in so many ways with American culture, and with coming out of the shadows with the Black LGBT, Southern Black LGBT stories? Like, what are the ways in which we're celebrating Black LGBT in a way that we have never done before? And one thing I'm personally excited by is that, if True Colors really wants to be the leader that we say we are in the Black theater movement, but here as a theater in Atlanta, we have to do a better job of putting and leading with our LGBT stories, and making sure that we don't relegate those stories. If we are here to celebrate Black stories, all Black stories matter, right? So I'm really just I'm thankful to you for the way in which you've attacked your role at the organization to really bring about this type of positive change. One of the things, one of the panel conversations And it's important to remind everyone that even when we are in person, our community conversations are free, and all of these digital offerings are going to be free as well. But one thing that I was excited by that you offered up is a conversation on moving past pain. This conversation that we are going to have with Black writers, new Black writers, about the stories that they're able to tell on stage. It seems like we, the American theater, produce so many plays about Black struggle. We're going to have a chance to talk to Black playwrights about other stories. Like, what other stories are you writing that you feel like you haven't had the freedom to tell? Let's go ahead and tell those stories.
Yeah. And the title of that conversation is Next Gen Playwrights Beyond the Struggle. And I think we're gonna really have a chance to have a great panel discussion about for especially some of our emerging playwrights, what are the issues that they're concerned about? As young Black playwrights, what are the issues that they want to discuss? And what are the barriers that they face today to getting their work out into the public? How do they do it? How do they have careers in this, and what are their passions? What drives their work? So I think that's going to be a really insightful conversation.
That's good stuff. That is so good, guys. Today, my guest is Mr. Brandel Jones, Connectivity Director at True Colors Theater. We are just talking about just the way in which we find community links and community organizations that we want to share our work in order for True Colors to really thrive at that intersection of artistic excellence and civic engagement. We need to be deeply rooted in our community, and we're thankful for Brandel and his work to make sure that that happens. Brandel, before I let you go here, I want to talk a little bit about joy, right? We are experiencing a year unlike any other, where there are so many things to fixate on, so many things to be sad about, and it is imperative that we find those things that lift our spirits, that bring us joy, and that reminds us of the bounty and the abundance that is prevalent, not just in Black life, but in life in general. I just love for you share with folks what brings you joy on a day-to-day, or what are things right now that you're really leaning in on to find that joy?
Oh gosh. Well, I would say anytime that I see there is a post on social media, of course everyone is staying connected through social media because we don't see each other in person so much. So I would say when I see a post on social media of someone doing something good for something else, I'm sorry, for someone else, whether that's making a donation to a food bank or even providing information where someone can find resources if they need them. I love seeing people just staying connected and finding ways to give back. Of course, everyone is dealing with this challenge, dealing with the challenge of the current environment that we're in. And I love seeing ways that people continue to overcome their own personal challenges to help others. That is what inspires me. And of course, we see this on the news as well, various stories of organizations going out of their way to make an impact, and just everyday people finding ways to serve their community. And I think that's what it's about. And that's been, I think, something that's been a highlight throughout the past few months, is that there are many giving and loving people in this world who are willing to step outside of themselves and move beyond their own challenges to make an impact for those who need. So that has really brought me joy, and it gives me hope for where we can come. Of course, with the protests and everyone speaking about Black Lives Matter, there's been a diverse array of voices that are speaking out about what we can do to progress. And I love seeing so many joining us in making progress. So that also brings me joy.
Yeah, that's great. I think the things that are bringing me joy right now, I have a friend, shout out to Celine Santiago. We both love dachshunds, and we've been sharing photos of little sausage dogs doing, it's like, I had a dachshund growing up, and Those are the funniest, cutest dogs in my opinion. Don't at me. And just seeing them like in costumes and things like that, or just in all the ways that different dachshund owners have been showcasing their pets. We follow a couple of IG accounts that are showing nonstop dachshunds. So like that's been like my thing of joy.
I
For
love
those
it.
of you all who are inclined the same way I'm inclined, I'm happy to share some of those small moments that put smiles on my face throughout the day.
I love it.
I said I was going to let you go with that one, but I'm really going to let you go after this one. Brandel,
Okay.
indulge me in a little bit. Close your eyes with me. We've been talking a lot about radical reinvention of the theater field, of the Atlanta theater field. And I just, one, when we talk about radically reinventing our field, what do you see? What does a radically reinvented Atlanta theater community look like?
Everyone being represented on stage, no matter what they look like or where they come from. Let's see what else. No one being left out. Free expression.
Yes, free expression. And let's work. And I know you and I, we're
Okay.
working, we're doing our part to make sure that people find themselves in our audience and in audiences across the Atlanta theater community. I'm thankful for the work that you do, brother. Let's just continue on in that path, so that that we can do that. We can do the work and that we can make sure that everyone feels at home in our stages in Atlanta, and especially at True Colors. Brother, thank you so very much for joining me
Thank you for having
today. Thank you for all of the work that you have done for us at True Colors and the work yet to come. Thank you all for rocking with us here for episode 20.
Yep.